Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And I'd love for you to be part of my Light Warrior Tribe. Check out my website, KarenCam.com, and I love to give away free gifts too. So if you don't have it already, my clearing protection spray formula is very popular, so you get a free gift when you sign up for my mailing list. And you also get 7 of my Fast Track Your Healing classes absolutely free, as well as a Topocan Healing Energy Attunement. So if you're not familiar with Topocan Healing, you can check out my YouTube channel where I do the Spiritual Medicine Digest, and I share with you every week kind of like the goings-ons of the world. You know, I definitely feel the ascension upgrades in my body. Many of my Light Warrior clients and students do as well. So I like to keep the pulse of what's going on and to be able to share it with everyone. So check out my YouTube channel as well. Now, today's show, we are going to be talking about this new book that just came out from one of my absolutely favorite authors, Penny Pierce. Now, Penny, I know from many, many years ago, and I've interviewed her about her book, Sleep Perception, and also Frequency, and I got to tell you, they so resonate with whatever's going on with me, whatever's going on with my clients and patients. It's like she wrote it for me. So, you know, those of you that have been, you know, following these shows for a while, many of my Light Warriors have been experiencing things happening related to the ascension process. They feel like time is speeding up. They feel things speeding up in their body. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable. Like most, I would say 95% of the people that I interact with are what I call sensitive. So they're like earth angel souls, indigo souls. You know, some are star seeds, had alien paths like myself. And it seems like every time these ascension upgrades occur, our bodies go through this, woo, you know, this process. So people are having issues, if they're having symptoms, you know, with insomnia, fatigue, you know, sudden outbursts of really intense emotions and becoming ultra sensitive to other people's stuff, especially hot flashes, fevers, all those kinds of things. And you know what? Penny actually talks about that in her book. So you're not alone. It's not like it's somewhat of a mystery, of course, in terms of ascension, but you know, Penny has really shared some really basic things for us to focus on as we're going through this ascension. So I am about a little over a third of the way through the book, Transparency, her latest book that you can get on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And let me give you her website. Penny always, you know, chuckles that her name is spelled weird, but so write this down, is P-E-N-N-E-Y, so extra E there at the end. And Pierce is with P-E-I-R-C-E. So check out her website, pennypierce.com. So today we're going to actually ask Penny, like, what is this thing called transparency? In her book, she describes about us, you know, letting go of everything and receiving everything. How do we get to a point where we can be really going through this ascension process with peace? And, you know, with be able to manifest, you know, there's many of my students in the Unlock Your Superpowers program very anxiously waiting for this show. You know, how can we manifest things that we want versus what we don't want? So I encourage you to get a copy of the book as well as our other two books, Frequency and Leap of Perception. So let me unmute Penny here and welcome her to the show. Okay. Hi, Penny.
Hey. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. We definitely have some questions already. I have some of my Light Warrior VIP folks with what shall we say, challenging ascension issues. These are folks that have worked really, really hard on their process, and so they can't wait to talk to you a little bit later in the show. So thanks for being on the show again, Penny. This is so cool.
I know. Well, we've been connected on and off for quite a few years, Karen, so it's fun to be back.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I don't know whether, you know, my folks know, but I just want to share with them. Now, Penny said to me, this is when I first connected with Penny on a one-on-one, and she did my numerology, and she looked at my numbers, and she was like, wow, you're going to be really popular, she said. You know, and I was really wanting to hear that, I guess, you know, and I was like, yes, you know. So it really gave me some validation, I suppose, if I want to use that term, to, you know, spur me on to keep going. Because I really was struggling with financial stuff and making what I thought were poor decisions, you know, with my money. I was, like, giving it away and just, you know, really knew that there was some stuff that I wanted to do. And I kept doubting myself and feeling self-critical about having spent, you know, 20-something thousand dollars, which ended up in my book, which, of course, I don't, you know, didn't sell enough to actually pay for that. But Penny's like, no, you know, I see you doing classes, you know. And I thought about that, and sure enough, Penny, you read that, and now I do have several courses and classes, and started out with the Tell It Summit series from Heartache to Joy, and that I felt like I just blasted off into space in the last 12 months. So whatever you predicted actually is coming true. So thank you, Penny.
Well, you've done really well at integrating all the kind of higher consciousness stuff with the physical stuff. And that I think that's really important today. You know, that we're, I guess you're calling it ascension. I call it kind of evolution. But I think that the path out or up or higher is in. You know, it's like we've got to get into the body, love the physical plane, understand that it's made of energy and light, that this world
right.
is the other world, you know, and not try to get away from it or over it or beyond it or anything like that. That's kind of old thinking.
Right, and that's really, really great that you made that point right away, because I think in you know, various different teachings in the past, some of the assumptions have been, oh, when we ascend, we won't, you know, need the body, we'll transcend the body, you know, we'll be, you know, instantly perfectly healthy, like in a blink of an eye, which I think is possible, but not the moment for many of us. So can you tell us more about your perspective of, you know, this whole process we're going through and why people have symptoms?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is an amazing time to be on the planet because of the intensification of energy on the planet or in the planet, if you will, which then affects our bodies, and that our body's vibration affects our emotional vibration and our mental vibration. And so everything is getting faster. And that means that everything that used to be slow, which is basically all the stuff that's based on fear, all the perceptions and decisions and beliefs, you know, that you have that are based on avoiding fear, are kind of mistakes of perception. It's like we don't really need that anymore when we start getting faster and faster, because we realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm a spiritual being. I'm actually a soul, and I'm here, and this world is made of spirit. So why doesn't it operate according to spiritual principles? And the more you become the soul, the more you see that the world does behave according to spiritual principles. You know, it is working.
Mm.
But what's happening right now is that everything that was too low or slow or dense, I call it now the opaque reality, you know, can no longer stay suppressed and invisible and hidden. All that stuff is now popping up to the surface and coming into our conscious minds, which basically that's our daily reality, you know. And the collective conscious mind is opening too. So we're seeing it in the news. You know, now suddenly, you know, sexual abuse has reached a breaking point. And now, for whatever reason, it's all coming up to the surface at this point. So I think that's going to happen with a lot of things. And this time period we're living in is the clearing of the clutter time. You know, where we're trying to see through all the wet blankets that have been thrown on top of us that have made reality seem dense and opaque, like we couldn't be ourselves. We can't remember who we are, you know. But because everything's going faster, it's also becoming, you know, more transparent, actually. The slower it goes, the more dense it is, right? The more opaque it is. The faster it goes, the more it clears up like a glass of tap water. You know, so we're starting to see through all kinds of things, whether that's in information, you know, transparency right now, everybody's associating with the idea of information. We're not getting
right.
true information from our leaders, you know, and I can't have free access to the documents I want and whatever, because we're still in the information age, you know. So the idea of transparency is applied toward information and knowledge. But we're moving out of the information age now into what I've been calling the intuition age, you know, where we can't process information so much anymore in a linear fashion. It's too slow. So we're starting to shift into this new kind of perception called spherical and holographic perception. And that's what my book, Leap of Perception, is all about. But as that happens, everything comes more and more into the present moment. And that means it's really fast. It's instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're living in the present moment, the more you can have access to things like instantaneous healing. Right? Things just suddenly shift. Or instantaneous materialization of things that you had been thinking about, positive or negative, depending what you've put your attention on. You know, so I think we're going through this really bridge time phase, you know, where a lot of the negativity is coming out so that we can have more of the truth. And it's very disorienting. If you don't have a roadmap that tells you how to get through all this, it can be, you know, it can be dangerous, actually. I mean, I think a lot of people become hopeless and depressed, and they think there's no way out, and what can I do, and this is always going to be bad and this way. And, you know, so suicide, I think, is a big risk these days, as well as, you know, addictions and all kinds of problems. So I'm being a bit long-winded here, but, you know, that's at least a start in explaining what I think is going on.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. Well, and, you know, the stuff coming out for resolution, you know, the, like you said, it's sort of like I describe it as we're cleaning our, you know, closets, like mass consciousness,
yeah.
Like, you know,
exactly.
And so it's like when you look at this closet and it looks pretty good, but you're like, I got to clean this. There's stuff in there that has been there for decades and I don't wear, and it's probably got dust bunnies. And then we start, you know, pulling it out of this closet, and now there's this huge mess on my floor, and not to mention the dust bunnies and maybe mouse turds or, you know, something. And it takes some time, you know, to like clean this up. So is that why people feel symptoms, or do they feel symptoms like fevers and stuff like that because they're resisting the clearing process?
Yeah, all of the above. First of all, the acceleration, like you were saying earlier, it causes a change in frequency in the body and in the emotions. So things that we used to be able to suppress can't be suppressed. And as they come up, we become first highly sensitive. I call it ultra sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
We're highly empathic now as well as a result of this, that we're feeling things we used to not have to feel, you know, like I call it
right.
energy information now, because it's stuff that is in the field, the unified field. It hasn't become verbal yet. You know, these are patterns of information. These are event waves. These are feelings of previous realities that are surfacing and that we think are happening to us all over again, and, you know, all sorts of things. But it causes all kinds of things, like our hearts pound often. The heart gets going fast. We go into anxiety, thinking, what's happening to me? This is too much for me. I can't handle it. Or we get hot because the energy is increasing our vibration, and one of the first things is heat. As energy starts to move after it's been contracted and kind of clumped up, you know, we get feelings of rushes of energy, you know, hot and cold. We overly electrical, hard to sleep. You know, there's a lot of them. I've listed them all in my books, especially in frequency. But so those are some of the first symptoms, and that's quite aggravating. And if you've had, you know, other kinds of illnesses or potential latent things, they may become active at this point because there's energy being added to them. And if you've had a lot of fixed belief systems and heavy-duty, like, fundamental or conservative ways of thinking where you're not going to think about anything new and don't like change, well, you know, change is the new word of the day, you know, fluidity.
Right.
And if you're not fluid, this stuff will come pounding to the surface like a dam breaking. And there will be, you know, traumas and dramas as a result of it. If you go with the flow and let yourself face things and open to the new energies, then you'll just ride along like a surfer, you know, no problem. But we have to get into the habit of facing and going into the things that are surfacing to truly try to understand them, because they're all partially perceived previous experience, you know, where we didn't see the whole picture and we got stuck. And then we locked it down and made a rule about it and then tried to keep that in place with our willpower. You know, and now we don't need to do that. We can just, like, say, oh, gosh, that dog barked in my face when I was 3 years old, and so that's why I don't like dogs now. But that's stupid. You know, it's like, well, I'm an adult. You know, I know how to be nice to dogs. You know, we've eclipsed the old patterns, and we just need to often just look at things with a kind of a compassionate frame of mind and understand that some of these things are made with our baby mind, you know, that when we didn't know any better. And we can reinvent it all. We can see it from the God's eye view. And it clears almost immediately now.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you know, my latest program that I just launched called Unlock Your Superpowers, you know, is really at its core really about reperceiving all of our, you know, seeing the big picture of things and creating from inside out that peace. Because where I might have seen someone as a perpetrator and a, you know, somebody who I need to fight, now see them as, wow, how did they help me? How did they grow me? How did I agree to this before even coming into this reality? And
are they showing up in my reality right now? Meaning that means that, you know, here's another piece of the acceleration is that with things getting so fast, everything is really in the present moment, which means it's all in one big ball of reality. There's no outside world anymore. Everything is in the ball with you, in your reality, and that means it's about you. So if you get a nasty person coming into your life or a victim or something, that's just a sign that you have that same thing in you in some other way or in some other percentage. You know, it's not that you're a bad person, but what's underneath, like, other people's fear? You know, if you have a narcissist in your life, what's underneath narcissism? Well, you go down into it, and there's a feeling of abandonment that people need to feel special. They need to feel noticed. So there's a vulnerability under that that you may have in a different way. See, and that's how you clear this stuff, is you see compassionately what's under the problem, and then you fix that, that there's no need to be in fear because you're an eternal soul, you know?
Right.
And love really does clear fear. It really does clear fear.
Well, Penny, what about children? So, you know, I have a friend of mine who's, 4-year-old, is extremely anxious. I'm thinking probably having problems sleeping. She had gone to surgery when she was young, and like an emergency surgery. This isn't someone who asked me for help, mind you, but, you know, it's an old friend of mine. And then this other, you know, patient of mine whose child is autistic and who clearly can feel multiple dimensions and other timelines, and so can she, because they're both, you know, sensitive. And she's just clearing all day long for this kid. But it's like, how do children who don't seem to have that adult capability, like, how do we help them deal with this kind of stuff?
That's a good question. I think first we have to assume that no matter how old you are, your soul is in charge. You do know what you're doing, even a baby, even a little kid, that they know how they want to grow their lives. And they also are still very, very connected to lots of other souls and beings that help them. So that's an assumption first, is that they're not alone, it's not hopeless, they're not victims. And especially I think autistic kids or autism is kind of a thing where a certain soul group that's extremely sensitive is kind of putting a bit of a plexiglass shield around themselves until the world has gotten to a frequency where, you know, matches them a little better, and then they'll come into their own. So they're just kind of protecting themselves a little bit, but meanwhile they're holding a higher energy in the physical world, so that it helps everybody evolve. You know, I don't see it as a problem, but I feel like a lot of the kids that are coming in that belong with these new soul groups, they are very used to being united and merged in the mental plane, you know, where there is really very little sense of time or separation. There's a group mind, group creativity, you know, group access to knowledge and, you know, all kinds of things. There's a kind of perfect fit of the way everything moves together. And this is where they come from. So as they come down in frequency and incarnate, they have to go through the emotional realm, you know, which has the astral plane, which is negative emotion, basically. You know, it's fear, fear-based realms, or a hell realm maybe even. They have to come through that, and it's incredibly disorienting to them. They don't get it at all. You're like, what is this thing? It's like being on a huge rough sea, you know, with huge waves and stuff. And so they have to get through that to come into the body. And often they try to jump over it or avoid it. And that creates a lot of emotional problems for them when they get here. So they need things that help them slow down and learn to make the transition through the realm without matching their energy to the negativity. You know, so they need like this slowly parachute that goes down, you know, very easily straight through into the body. And stuff like that would be like music, sculpture, working with, you know, art forms and the right brain and, you know, nature and stuff. But what are they doing instead? They're getting addicted to screens and all that mental stuff. So they're not dealing with the physical body and the emotion. So knowing that about these soul groups, I think, is very important. And then being able to devise methodologies for them so that work with their particular energetic issues. Teach them how to meditate. Teach them about intuition and right brain and left brain. They're smart. You know, they know stuff. They don't work well as individuals. They like to be in groups because that's what they're used to, you know, being merged. So they will probably invent new technologies together and all kinds of things. But they have to learn to feel their own individuality and enjoy it. You know, that's a new thing for a lot of them. I don't know if this makes sense, but,
It does.
So I think typical educational techniques are totally lost on them. They just don't get it, and then they get angry when their energy gets frustrated. Yeah. Some of them are extremely clear and idealistic, and they're kind of like game busters, you know, for the old stuff. They're just not going to tolerate old thinking, which is partly going to help us all evolve.
Well, and that's challenging for, you know, parents who already, you know, zap of their own energy because they're taking care of a child with so-called special needs, and then you're trying to integrate them into a regular school, which in my opinion, well, I come from a family of teachers, so very, very much into teaching. In fact, I wanted to be a teacher, not a doctor to begin with. And now they have all this, like, strict curricula they're making the teachers do, which may or may not be, you know, that fun or helpful. They have all this Wi-Fi energy going on where these ultra-sensitive kids react to the fluorescent lights, they react to the, you know, the cleaning products, they're reacting to the mold and the ceiling, and it's like,
exactly.
Of course they can't pay attention.
I know, and, I think this is all part of that bridge time backlash as the negativity starts coming up everywhere. A lot of people retract into conservative thinking or old, you know, structural thinking, like hierarchies are the old way and flat structures are the new way. And I was just talking to my friends in Japan this morning, and they said that things have gotten in education there extremely narrow and strict, like everybody's kind of going backwards a lot, especially after, you know, they had the earthquake and the nuclear thing. You know, they had a lot of big fears come up. And that's what happens often is things get tighter. But that's like a contraction before the release. So that just means that we who have some kind of consciousness need to be in there innovating and being thought leaders, you know, to take up that role of responsibility to be creators of the new structures based on new perception. you know, we can't just sit back and think somebody else is going to do it. Right? No
right.
matter what area you're drawn to, there's a new form or something innovative that's going to work better than the old things. And, you know, we may have to get together in groups to get it done. But, you know, I think that that is coming. It's got to come. You know, it's the old way is too slow to last. You know what I mean? The world is overtaking it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hopeful to me, you know. But
and
some people will go through a lot of fear trying to adapt or let go. Right? You know, no matter if it's in education or parenting or in corporate life or medicine or whatever.
Well, one of my Indigo kids who's in his 20s was working for, you know, kind of this place where you sit in a cubicle, which, of course, you know, having mentored him, I told him never to do that because
right.
It wasn't
no
who
squares.
He was. I said, you need to be outside in nature. He goes, well, I guess I had to try it just to know that it wasn't for me. But it was funny. So he went there, and he is, you know, first day on the job. There's all these people in cubicles. He feels lonely, even though it was with, like, all these people in the room,
yeah.
and, you know, it's bare. And he, you know, made a suggestion to the higher-ups and say, look, what I'd like to do is devise a program for new people coming in. Let's have them, you know, do a questionnaire. And I'm not exactly sure exactly how he said this, but, you know, do a questionnaire so we can know more about them. And then we can say, hey, I've got a dog too. What's your name? You know, and then when they first get into the office, there's all these sticky notes posted, you know, on there from their colleagues or little pictures or, you know, something that make it more personal. And they loved his idea. They said no one ever thought of that before, of welcoming a new person that way.
Yeah.
And I thought,
well,
wow,
it's a start.
That was
incredible. I mean, if they take down the cubicles and make, like, circular arrangements of desks facing in or something. I remember when I used to be an art director, we had, you know, the art departments were always a bunch of drafting tables all set up together in one room, no walls between anybody.
Right.
So you were working on your own thing, but talking and walking by the other person's desk and looking and getting ideas. And it was so much better as a creative stimulation sort of thing. And I think that's what they need now, too, is more communal kind of situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have two other major questions before we get to the phones. And one of them was about, people are definitely ultra sensitive and increasing their empathy. And I, you know, say that like over and over and over again. And people keep being surprised, I guess, that why am I feeling other people's stuff? Like, why am I practicing for mass consciousness? And, you know, why am I, you know, seeing ghosts from another timeline? So
that's right.
they're looking for tools to, okay, so, I mean, I you know, the tools I use is that we actually can question and figure out where they're from and what to do about them. But, you know, is there some way that the average, you know, ascending person, I suppose, can address the sensitivity? Like, we don't want to shut ourselves down and say we don't want to feel it, but that's the knee-jerk reaction. I don't want to feel everything going on in my other timeline that I don't even remember what I did in that timeline, you know, and what I have to release. Am I really supposed to know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it has a lot to do with staying really centered in your own home frequency, in your own energy of, you know, and the home frequency to me is kind of the soul in the body vibration. What does it feel like when you are your soul, when you identify, I am a soul, I don't have a soul. You know, I'm it now, I'm here, I know what I'm doing. Something in me knows what I need to know. And I'm looking out from behind these eyes. And you identify as that, and you look at the world and you see the light inside of things. You realize there's a flow happening, and you're in that flow, and everything is working fine. And you relax into that and surrender into that. Okay, that's a first state that you have to kind of get into, you know. And then realize that, yes, I know I'm connected to the whole unified field, but I have my own center here within the big ball, you know. And you can go out and merge with things and get information from the larger amount of yourself, not the outside world. There's no outside world. There's a larger amount of yourself. So you can go and feel things. Other people are modeling other kinds of behaviors. You could do that if you wanted. So you look at somebody who's maybe playing the victim and getting a lot of attention for it, and then you come back to yourself And you say, instead of judging it, you say, well, I'm noticing this. So does that work for me? Is that something that I would like to do? Or is that, or what's the mistake in perception around that idea? What do I need to learn from this? Why did I notice this? Or you look at sometimes if you're saying I'm getting a past life memory, or I'm getting wind of a new event that's going to happen in the world. It's just one perception at a time, really, and no better or worse perceptions. It's all data. And if you take the idea that I am making the world known to myself as I need to know it, so I trust the way things are showing up for me. So that if I notice a past life timeline, why am I noticing that? Or why am I bringing that to my attention right now? Is there something I'd like to, that I want to process about that, or get some new talent from it, or get rid of some old, partially perceived experience that I don't really need anymore? So you engage what you're noticing. Don't value judge it, right? Just accept it and go into it and see what it's all about. And if you're picking up other people's information, at first you can say, why am I noticing all of this? What do I think about it? And do I really need to know everything, all of this? So you can say to yourself, look, just let me be aware of the things I need to know about, because I don't need to know everything all at once. I can't function that way. And you will monitor that for yourself. You have to ask, though, but then notice what you notice, make use of it, be grateful for it,
Right.
Like that. And I think there's a new skill set coming around how to work with empathy and the high-level sensitivity, which in a way is like a great gift for us to have greater direct knowing and knowledge. But it's not scary. It's useful.
Well, it's interesting because I was sharing with my students that, a lot of them, on these forums and things like that and Facebook groups are like, I want to access my spiritual gifts. I want to amplify them. And, my thing is like, well, that's happening whether you, ask for it or not. It's happening. The thing is, how do you manage it? How do you, some of the things that are symptoms, I'm like, that's your spiritual gifts opening up. You asked for that.
You already have
them.
So
we now need to,
lot of them.
We need to,
but they're latent or they're just glimmers. And I think you have to start with where you are and notice what you already have. Intuition is always there. So we'll use it for innocuous things. Like what shall I eat for dinner? Or do I even want to eat a meal right now? Or, do I feel like my body wants to go for a walk? I'm going for a walk. Start with those small things. And then let the bigger things come, like what job should I take, and that'll be just like one of the small things then. Your body will lean towards something or lean away from something or get excited and happy or kind of wet blankety and dense. And you'll be able to read those signals in your body to know. But start with what you've got. I'd say intuition development is like the primo first thing to work with. Then look at how all the senses fall into intuition. Like we have sense preferences. I first started, I was very visual because I'd been a graphic designer. I saw symbols all the time and had to interpret the symbols. And then it sort of dropped down and went into auditory, and I would hear a voice telling me something. And then after that, it dropped down more into my body, and it became very tactile so that I would feel, textures of energy. And then it became like an expanded tactile, I don't know what to call it. It's kind of all the senses at once, where it's like I get patterns impressing on me, and in the pattern is tons of information. And then I have a way now, I guess, of translating that from my right brain immersion into the left brain so that it can untangle itself and translate into something language-oriented. but I think you start with your intuitive senses that are not logical, that are just direct experiential immersion, engagement, direct knowing. And then you validate that. And then you add on, you know, would I be interested in looking at where my life might want to go next year? And just get ideas. Just let things pop into your head. And don't run it through the left brain yet, whether it should be right or wrong, but just keep it in a way that it's, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's curious. You know, so that you stay open about it. Don't close down around these things. And that way it just has a permission to grow. You know,
oh,
and then if
it.
Like your, one
it.
Of your gifts is that you're going to be more drawn toward healing, you know, or creativity and writing or art or, you know, teaching or whatever, those things will happen because you'll be interested in them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's perfect. Well, Penny, I got to that part last night in your book. Sorry, changing topic here a little bit, about secrets.
Oh, yeah.
About the opacity of secrets and how we kept secrets. And then I had, you know, I had a session with another healer. She makes these beautiful pyramids. Her name is also Karen. And she asked me, she did a reading, and she said, what's going on with your mom? And I'm like besides her normal stress state, I don't really know. And she's like, well, it's about her health. And my mom is like, you know, got these weird, weird health issues, but nothing, you know, very dangerous. So I didn't really know where that was going. But then after you're reading your chapter last night where you talk about these secrets, and I remembered there was a secret in my mother's family. And then I thought, well, gee, I'm just going to ask further. How, you know, how far does this, you know, this energy of the secret go? And it was like 8 generations of this,
wow.
You know. Yeah, and back then, of course, I can't prove it, of course. You know, these people are dead, but there was some, like, sexual trauma or something like there. And
mm-hmm.
I know in my life here, I've had, you know, I haven't been able to have children. I've had my own, like, reproductive issues, like, you know, various niggly, annoying problems, like really painful periods. And my mom had all sorts of, you know, reproductive issues too. And I asked Doris, I said, okay, so, you know, I'm reading this from Penny's. Is there any of that that has not cleared? I got, yes, there's 9% left, you know, related to the secret.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that you brought that example up because I've seen it with murder, you know, where somebody's,
yeah.
You know, great, 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 whatever. They've had somebody kill somebody and didn't tell anybody about it, but the shadow of that thing is there in the family, and then the subsequent generations will misinterpret that sort of shadow as they just see death and killing, and so they will often kill themselves. We'll have suicide run in a family, or people who get addicted to drugs because they've got this weird thing that they just can't figure out on a visceral level, and they're just too overwhelmed by the potential negativity and not knowing what it is, and it's so energetic, you know. But the sexual abuse kind of thing is absolutely comes down through the lifetimes, as well as through your you know genetically.
Yeah, and I found that you know I was asking about my brother and sister, and my sister who is you know. Has 2 kids. I mean, she's a busy mom, and she gets stressed out. But generally, I mean, she has a life, you know. And she didn't get that, you know, from my mom's side of the family. But my brother did, and he definitely has lots of relationship issues or lack of relationship issues. You know, his idea of fun is like collecting swords and weapons, and it really worries the heck out of my parents. You know, for me, it's like, oh, whatever, you know, he likes that. But so
uh-huh.
I accept him as he is. But I thought, oh, well, that explains a lot. You know, like the secrets that you talk about are, and you know, some of the healing frequencies that we have in some of my products actually covers this kind of thing. But Source said I wasn't allowed to clear it until I became consciously aware of in my family line what that was, so I could better describe it for others.
Yeah, because you know, part of it is that you're supposed to keep secrets for others. I have a section called the societal code around secrets, you know, that I'll just read a couple of the items. One is secrets are necessary for safety and survival and must be protected. Knowing secrets gives you power. Having secrets makes you attractive and interesting, but also prevents people from trusting you. We must protect others from our secrets, and we're supposed to keep secrets for others. And we can sniff out secrets intuitively, and we secretly want to reveal our secrets. You know, it goes on. But, you know, I think that the energy is increasing. Secrets are like stuff that used to be in the subconscious mind. They're, you know, suppressed things. And they have now no place to hide, and they are coming to the surface. That's why we're seeing all the, you know, sexual abuse coming out in the news and scandals and things that used to be able to be hidden. They can no longer be hidden. And people who kept secret, you know, like that young 14-year-old girl that was, you know, abused by one of the politicians, you know, and they say, well, why is it coming out now? They're just trying to get in the way of our party winning an election. No, it's coming out now because this is a moment where the frequency on the planet is such that this kind of thing can no longer stay hidden. And once one person starts letting it out, the others have tried to, they've been holding it all these years. And now they can let it out. You know, so there's a flood. And that'll happen in a lot of different areas, I think, as well. You know, wherever anything debilitating has been held down. And we can't be our true selves if we're holding on to lies. Right? That anything that's getting in the way of us being authentic will go now. It has to.
Well,
you know, one of my clients said the other day, well, transparency is really coming whether we want it or not. You know, it's going to happen.
it's difficult because, you know, if somebody, and I know this is a question that folks have, is like, well, you know, there's telling the whole truth and then there's containing, and do I really have to tell everyone that, let me give an example, that do I have to really tell everyone that I think that polyamorous relationships are the way to go, that I'm not for monogamy?
Yeah.
Do I have to tell everybody that, you know, I've had chlamydia, or do I have to tell everybody that, you know,
or that
I mean?
I'm
like,
an alcoholic
what?
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah, like,
you know,
like
the thing is, you don't need to broadcast everything about yourself. You know, but I think there is a state that I've been told that I needed to do when I moved here to Florida was like to be exposed. Don't try to project anything about myself. Don't try to hide anything about myself. Just let myself be seen in the ethers. You know, like don't try to do anything with my appearance. I'm just am, you know, and I'm here. And anybody who's at the frequency will be able to find me, and if they're not, they won't see me. So there's no danger in showing up for having the kind of beliefs I do or the kind of practice I do spiritually in a fundamental Christian neighborhood, you know, if I don't go out and broadcast myself to everybody and make them feel bad about themselves, right? So you don't have to make everybody know everything about you, but you can let them see it if they want to see it.
Gotcha.
You know, it's about not hiding, not about or being blatantly honest where, you know, you beat people over the head with honesty. That's not it either. It's always about using
there,
compassion.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
My poor parents.
Me too.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Well, we have some folks on the line. I've actually opened the chat as well, so we have some time for some questions, Penny.
Yeah, sure, I have time.
I'm just going to... Awesome. Just to let everybody know, Penny's website, again, let me spell it out. It's Penny, P-E-N-N-E-Y, Pierce, P-E-I-R-C-E.com, all one word, so pennypierce.com. So you can check out all of her books. She has, you know, one of the original books on intuition that I think my husband probably went through it two or three times. He did all the exercises.
Yeah, the intuitive way.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's still being, still selling. Really well, yeah.
Oh, and it should because it's so relevant. There's a lot of homework in there, though, Penny.
Well, it's a course actually on intuition development.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so
it's
I mean, you can do it by yourself. A lot of people do it in groups. You know, together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So, folks, the number to call in is 818-514-1190. Just hit 1. So, again, it's 818-514-1190. Just hit 1 so I know your hand's up. And I also open the chat. So if you have a question for Penny there, you can actually put it there. So the first person I have here is, I believe, Marianne. Marianne, are you here?
Hi, Dr. Karen. Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Marianne.
Can you hear me?
What questions
Hi.
Do you have for Penny?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hi, Penny.
Okay.
Hi.
So, hi. Thank you for taking my question. And Dr. Karen, feel free to jump in. I've had a big challenge with swelling, and it started, I don't know, about 3 years ago, and it seems as the more I evolve, I guess is the right word, the more it seems, my body seems to want to keep swelling, and it kind of goes up and down all the time, but I was wondering.
You mean
you
with extra weight or water or what kind of swelling?
Like extra fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And every time she does clearings and healings, it goes down temporarily until the next, what I call ascension upgrades, and then she swells again. And I know that one too. I have some of that too.
Yeah. What I get about things like that is that it's an energetic thing where it's sort of like you're in a phase where you're needing to release more of yourself and open yourself up to more of your talents or believe in yourself so that you'll let people see you and that you can have an impact on others and that you can, you don't have to hold yourself in order to be safe or to not displease others, you know, and as you sort of give yourself permission to be all of who you are, then you don't have to like sort of symbolize being big by swelling up. You know, you can let that go and have fluidity instead of fluid, you know, and just about movement and creativity and being adaptable and doing anything you want, you know. So I think it has something to do with entitling yourself to be more of everything that you are. Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's the deep root, I think, of the issue.
So how do I allow myself to do that, because I thought I already was.
I think that you would look into your life and see any way that you might be holding yourself back or judging yourself, being too careful, being too connected to belief systems or proof or fixations, and change it up, stir it up, move around more.
It could be relationships. Family and coworkers, like being real
with them.
Sure,
it could be
them.
Relationships can get fixed, you know, where you feel like you have to behave a certain way.
So
think of it as fluidity rather than retaining fluid.
Okay.
I think that's cool. We can talk more about this, Mary, next time we chat together.
All right. Sounds really great. Thank you, Penny.
Sure.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. Okay, so let's, we have somebody else on the line here. Area code 951. Hello.
Hi,
who's this?
Hey, it's Nate.
Hey, Nate. What question do you have for
Nate?
Penny?
You don't do like readings or anything like that. Is it like, do you general things? It's like, I could ask a lot of questions and go ahead.
I don't do readings on radio interviews. I do them privately.
Right.
But if
you
have a question that would be of interest to everyone, that would be interesting and useful, sure.
Well, just do you ever have problems with, like, earthbound spirits or psychic attacks or just different, you know, things, you know?
I have had that in the past, but what I've really learned is it still relates to what we're saying is occupying yourself fully. Really, you coming into your own body and your own space and occupying your own field 100%, striking the tuning fork of your own home frequency and saying, I am here 100%, this is my space, I occupy this at this frequency. Anybody who's of the same frequency can come in. And if you're not, then you're in a different part of the field. If you place
right.
your attention a lot on the idea of an outside world, which again is a fallacy, that's inimical or that's dangerous, and that there are beings out there that can hurt you, then possession and being bothered by spirits, whether they're physical or non-physical, comes in. You know, domination always comes when you don't occupy yourself enough, when you don't feel who you really are enough.
Right.
So that's what I would recommend, is a lot more centering and running your own energy and just telling other beings, like, you know, you need to seek your own frequency. Because this realm is not
yours.
It's just
a caution. I think a lot of there's a lot of people I've seen and stuff. There was one lady that was doing it, and then she came and gave a reading on that lady, like, you know, she's crazy, da da da. And then a few months later, she went crazy, and I haven't talked to her for 10 years. It was like a psychic group, you know, where we all went, and you know, that kind of thing, you know. So, you know, a lot of people, if you go into a psychic group, then it's just not one person, you know. It's like 35.
No, and they're not necessarily mature thinkers either.
Right. Because I'm thinking, wow, this seems like a, you know, that didn't feel like a, you know, that felt like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, I do.
You know, some people will say things and I go, wait a minute, that didn't seem like it was coming from anything. That seemed like that was pretty evil. You know, so
And that's part of the sort of titillation of wanting to go to things like that. Is it's like why people go to see horror movies and stuff, you know. It's like getting right with your own fear, you know.
That's another question. It's like I've never really felt right about horror movies and stuff. I never really liked them. I don't kind of wonder why they make them, you know, because a lot of people, a lot of people really like them.
I know.
I'm
just thinking there was a scene in, I forget what movie, it was Sissy Spacek and Steel Magnolias maybe, where she gets her father's book of skin diseases off the top shelf in their library and makes herself look at it and scares herself regularly by looking at these skin diseases. And
Tarantula.
It cracked me up. Yeah, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe it puts things in perspective, but also I think there's just some people need to deal with their fear. Horror movies
that's
are let's go into it and feel what that is, and maybe then it becomes an adrenaline addiction.
It might be facing your fear, but, you know, overcompensating for facing for your fear.
I think it depends how consciously you enter it. So, Nate, we got to go to another person, but thank you so much for your questions.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your vibrations.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll, I loved scary movies when I was, a younger child and teenager and, you know, med school. We always used to get together as all the med school students and do Night of the Living Dead and start laughing at how the spines can move without any sinews attached to it. Anyway. So, but now it's more like I go into this conscious space. Okay, so I'm choosing to do this, you know, for entertainment and I'm going to monitor my body. And monitor, like you were saying, the home frequency, you know, and it's been really interesting, the experiment.
Right.
So,
it's
not for everyone.
In terms of being highly sensitive, you know, we have to look a little bit at what we're putting into our conscious minds. What are we loading in there? And I think we can, you know, there's so many really dark TV shows on right now, too. You know, everything's kind of either young guys and adrenaline addiction of kind of, driving fast and car chases or Walking Dead and zombies and, you know, all this stuff. That we are looking at the dark side. It's part of the clearing of the clutter. Right?
Interesting. My husband loves violent video games, and he loves Fast and Furious, and he was doing The Walking Dead for a while, and I said, honey, put your headphones on. I really don't want to hear this in the background.
Yeah,
You know, and he'll start telling me, like, he's, like, almost addicted to these, you know, Facebook videos, which I never seem to see them when I'm on Facebook, but he, you know, oh, my God, this cop did this, and then this person, you know, did this to this dog, and now they're in jail. I'm like, that's it. Okay, thank you for sharing, but I don't need the details. You know what I mean? So he's like venting to me.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how this is like coming up so much.
It is. It's you know, just kind of flooding, and it's interesting how Hollywood tends to pick up on some of these themes consciously or unconsciously. But also I think there are more sort of like transformational kinds of things, like there's a, what's that, the autistic young doctor guy, you know, who's, that's a kind of a cool show where they're educating people about autism. So
right,
and so
there's a lot
good
more shows about spiritual gifts. You know about you know, supernatural
gifts exactly.
And yeah,
without having
more
to
popular.
Be a superhero.
Right, right.
You don't have to be a superhero
like
to have natural
too,
spiritual
but...
gifts.
Okay, so let me unmute this one person here. Area code 717. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Well, you're popular. I think I unmute you every show.
I noticed. I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, after this week, we had a really bad storm here. We had the security system cameras, and it was getting really windy. I was out with my dog. And I came back in, and I looked at the security cameras, and there was this unbelievable light show. Well, you couldn't see it with your naked eyes, but you could see it with the camera. But it looks like there's a dragon. I mean, it is just unbelievable. There's these, I don't even know what they would be. They're like pods, and you can see the energy flowing from them and stuff. And I'm just, it sort of freaked me out in some ways. Like, I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And I didn't know what your take on this would be.
Wow, it sounds like you were really seeing some kind of energy field.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, it is fascinating. I would love to see, I mean, I've never seen anything like it anywhere. And it was across the street, like on this one building. I mean, it was just unbelievable. It almost looked like a huge spider web at one place. And then it had and the thing looked like there was flames. It actually looked, could have been a dragon with flames coming through it. I'm like, that's interesting. Didn't know what kind of take on that would be. I mean, I do have seem to see things that other people don't, but when it comes on my TV, like, you can see it right on my security camera like that. It's like, wow, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought...
Well, I mean, that may be one of your gifts, too, is being able to clairvoyantly start to see more and more about energy fields. So you might, you know, put your attention on people's bodies or animals or trees and plants and see what's going on, see if you can see other kinds of things.
Okay, it just sort of freaked me out a little bit, and then I think for the last 4 days I was sick, and I'm like, I don't know if I just got too upset, worked up about that, and let myself go to the
wrong direction. Don't let your left brain talk you out of it, you know.
Okay.
You saw it, you know, you noticed these things, and if you did.
I videoed it because I couldn't believe I saw it, and then I did still frame to see it. I'm like, oh my goodness, it really is there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, keep working with
me.
Okay.
I just did a class on dragons, so it'd be kind of cool if it was a dragon. That would be kind of neat.
I know.
They're really powerful,
like,
neat beings.
Like.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
so,
very
anyway.
Cool. Okay. Well, you got your advice there, Tina. All the best
Thank
to you.
Very
Thanks
much.
For your question.
Thanks.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. So again, let me just share with you Penny's website. It's pennypierce.com, PennyPierce, all one word, .com. And she has a lot of really cool books. And we started, my husband and I, with The Intuitive Way, and then Frequency, Leap of Perception, and now this latest one, Transparency. They're kind of all in a series, but even if you pick up just Transparency, I noticed that, Penny, you actually kind of summarize, you know, in some ways a little bit of the other two books.
They've come as kind of a series, you know, of one following the next, all about transformation, and they seem to come in when the frequency on the planet is ready for the next one. But I usually summarize the previous ones a little bit so people know where I am, you know, with it all. In the beginning
of each
one. Well,
it's good for me, too, because there's, you know, there's some time between the books, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, I'll remember back to the other books when you do that. All right, so let me see here. I've got to ask the source what's for the highest good. So this person. Okay, so I think this person might be on Skype. So let me just, hello. Who's this?
Hi, it's Cassandra.
Yay! Cassandra! I was hoping it was you. Okay.
Yeah, I made it.
All right, Cassandra. Yay, you made it. So, Cassandra, just tell Penny where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Denmark.
Oh, okay, great. I was just there.
Oh, good. Penny, I'm really struggling with the easiest way to tell it is to my brain seems to be not really working. Like I'm struggling really to take in what you're saying today. And in general, like some days I can't even read, and I am actually quite an intelligent person, but I've had my metabolism medicine taken away from me by a mistake from 14 years ago, and I've been struggling with quite a few things since then. Right now, the head one's the biggest one. Can you say anything about what that's got to do with or any advice?
Wow.
Yeah, that left brain ain't working very well.
So what's going on with the metabolism and thyroid and stuff? Are you taking something for that?
I'm on
to
medication again. Yes, I'm on medication, but it hasn't come back to me feeling like I did before. There's been some damages to my brain and to different organs in my body from being taken off it for a couple of months.
I wouldn't hold that idea because I kind of feel like the brain adapts. It's not like we, you know, we can grow new brain cells. I think you can bring it all back.
I'm hoping
but
for
I think, yeah, I think that there's a, I feel like you need easily digestible, clean food for one thing. Yeah. And, oxygen, a lot of oxygen, you know, and I know everybody walks in Denmark, so that's really a great thing.
Yeah.
But healthy food and oxygen, you know, like feed your brain what it really needs.
Yes.
Then get yourself interested in things that are not necessarily significant, but are fascinating to you, you know, that where you have natural curiosity, like a child. And
yeah.
Sort of rebuild your curiosity, and maybe by doing artwork or other things that are more right-brained for a little while, and then start making meanings out of it. Or you might do crossover things like poetry, you know, where you or drawing a picture and then making a story out of it or something, just as exercises.
Yeah.
You know, and let your – what I do often is an exercise where I imagine – my brain, and I take the partition out from the center of the brain, like it's an energy partition, and I reach in, I pull it out, and then I let all the energy from the left brain go into the right brain, and the right brain go into the left brain, like a big figure eight. So they exchange knowledge and equalize. And then just let that diamond light sit in there. You know, bring the diamond light all through your brain and let it just work on you. Anywhere that's feeling challenged or slow or shadowy, let it clear it up and clean it up. The light will do the work for you. But I would get rid of the idea that the medicines have been doing all this to you. You are in charge of how your body functions. So there's some kind of probably deeper thing going on that was affecting your metabolism and energy distribution, and often, you know, the throat chakra stuff goes down to the third and the first chakras. It has to do with survival information and third chakra, you know, willpower and energy distribution through the body. So I would check the functioning of your first, third, and fifth chakras and make sure that's up to par, you know.
Great advice. I'll definitely look into that because energy is another one that's been a really, really big problem for me. So, but all the art stuff and that, I've been longing for the day where I've got the energy and the time to do it. So that's something that's definitely been on my schedule. I'll push it forward a bit.
Nice.
Do a little bit
fantastic.
In the morning or something. Don't have to do a whole lot. Just do a little. Just start a kind of a trickle of water coming through, just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and so that it's a fun thing for you to do. Set aside a half an hour or something maybe. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
fantastic.
Welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Cassandra. All right. Well, Penny, it's been a fabulous hour. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. Yeah, it did. And congratulations again on this great new book in this series. And I've highly encouraged everyone to get all your books. Very, very helpful, especially for those of us who really are committed, you know, to being conscious and to making the best of our lives. And it's a fabulous work. Thank you again, Penny.
Well, thanks, Karen. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And thanks, everyone, for listening in. Until next time, bye for now. Lots of love.